Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you is to start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, coming at you, emanating from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 35, 36, make that 37 peers now, knocking out all bums. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and hour number one of Ring Talk, of course, this is the Sunday edition. We featured 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. Straight up, hour number one, we'll hear from one of the Charlo brothers, Jamal Charlo, of course, the 160-pound champion, a winner last night in the Charlo Mania pay-per-view extravaganza on Showtime. Lasted 6.5 hours, went for $74. You gotta be kidding me. They would have had to pay me $74 to watch 6 hours of those guys. At the end of the night, I didn't watch them. I saw some highlights. Wasn't a whole lot, in the highlight, world anyway. Bottom line is, we'll discuss Charlo Mania. Larry Merchant will be here in hour number one. As will, I'm holding on to a secret guest. Anyway, bottom line is, I got a couple surprises for you in today's show. But we'll hear from Israel Adesanya. Man, of course, the man that is the 185-pound UFC champion, and he smoked Paulo Costa last night. Of course, Paulo Costa is one of those Brazilian guys that comes in like he weighs 255 pounds and then makes 185 pounds for a weight limit and then comes in back in to the octagon at 220 pounds. In other words, he got lit up like a White House Christmas tree last night, and he is a cheat, a stone cold cheat, and he got lit up right on. Right on. Just, you know, fairness matters. Bottom line, especially in combat sports, because I told you before, size matters in two things: combat sports and pornography. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. After the break, I'll review the weekend of boxing. This is Ring Talk Live on Sports Byline.
You say you even thinking about time? Well, before you do anything rash, dig this. Everybody plays a fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule. Listen, baby.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You sure know your boxing?
Well, all I know is never bet on the white guy.
You know, I've gotten in trouble for that. And that's not my clip. That's Scott Cuddy's clip. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Outing my producer right there on the air, folks. He's the greatest in the world, no doubt about that. Bottom line is, boxing was rocking and rolling, of course, probably the first big weekend since the pandemic has hit, no doubt about that. And whether it really was a big weekend or not, we'll talk about that at the end of the day. But straight up, the Charlo brothers were in action last night. Of course, Jermell Charlo's 30-year-old brother, Jamal Charlo, defended the WBC middleweight title. He's the undefeated guy for the third time, improved his record to 6-0 at 160 pounds with a pretty decent 12-round decision over Sergey Devrenchenko. Shevchenko came in at 13-2. He left at 13-3. Charlo was now like 30-0. Bottom line is, if you're 30-0 and you're fighting guys that are 13-0 and those are the number one contenders, what does that say about the division? What does that say about the division? Think about that. I mean, middleweight's supposed to be about Canelo Alvarez. Why isn't he going after Canelo? I don't hear him calling out Canelo. Why is he trying to make a match with Canelo at a catchweight? Maybe 164 or 160 or 168. But he's not going after the big dogs. He always wants to fight these lower echelon guys. And of course, last night's pay-per-view lasted 6.5 hours. Imagine that. 6.5 hours, maybe 4 or 5 fights. Yeah, okay, some of the fights were okay, but the bottom line is 6.5 hours. At least when Don King put those 6.5 hour shows on, he put them on with championship fights after championship fights after championship fights. And then you had Don King in the middle adding excitement to it and the different personalities ringside, this and that. But Mr. Al Heyman just doesn't have that quite just yet. Anyway, bottom line is, Charlo was a successful winner. So Sergey got beat up over 12 rounds. The scores weren't even close. He won a couple of rounds, but at the end of the day, I wasn't all that impressed. The other Charlo, the lesser Charlo, He's Jamal. Of course, he's the 154-pound champion. He has now got three belts at 154. Took out Mr. Jerson Rosario. Of course, dropped him a couple times before taking him out. That was a pretty good performance. But, you know, at the end of the night, 74.95. Is that what this was really worth? 74.95? I don't think so. Going across the pond, Josh Taylor, of course, the 140-pound champion of the IBF, now in WBA, of course, looked very good in knocking out his number one contender with a body shot. Way to do it, baby. When you got a guy sprawling, laying there on the ground from a body shot, there's nothing quite like it. I just can't. I mean, I scored a few one-punch KOs, just a few, you know, where you knock people out. But a couple of times I hit people with body shots, and they never got up. And that was sort of cool. That was real. I mean, that was like, it was like different. When you hit somebody with the body and they go down and they don't get up, it's a little bit different. In fact, one of my guests in hour number two, Hector Martinez, talked about the time that he let Billy Tavaki, that big Samoan monster, hit him in the body and knocked the wind out of him. I would never let Billy do that. Billy was just way, way too big. But bottom line is, Hector will be here in hour number two. Of course, he's going to be talking about the Solomachenko and Teofimo Lopez, the big fight of October. Of course, it'll be on ESPN coming to you from the bubble in Las Vegas, another master gem put together by the genius himself. What is he, 89 years old now? I'm talking about Bob Arum. Speaking of Don King, he's trying to put things together. I talked to him on the phone a few days ago. Pedro, I'll get to you. I promise you, as soon as I have something on paper, I will get to you. So he hasn't got to me, so I guess he doesn't have anything on paper yet. Anyway, the Charlo brothers, a winner. Of course, the Jerson Rosario came to fight, got knocked down a couple times, but he came to fight. He ended up losing inside the distance, and that was the 154-pound Charlo. Jamel's 154. Jamal is 160 pounds. Now, some of the other better fighters on the card, Luis Neri. Man, did he look good. Took care of Aaron Alameda, 122-pound champion this guy is. They call him Pantera. He's like 31-0, 24 kills. He's a monster. I don't know if he could stay at that weight very long, but he is a monster. And, you know, when you have fighters like this that need need to break out, and they don't break out on the bottom of Charlo undercards. They break out on cards on their own, especially if he's of Latin descent. Why don't they put him on Telemundo or try to put him on a Spanish pay-per-view or something like that? Because he's 31-0, and not a whole lot of people have heard about him. Bottom line is, Aaron Alameda, God bless him, because Jimmy Lennon introduced him at the weigh-in as, or evidently, Jimmy Lennon introduced somebody else as Aaron Alameda at the weigh-in. It caused a bit of confusion. People wonder, is Jimmy getting senile? No, man. People make mistakes. Even the great Jimmy Lennon makes a mistake at times. I've been there a lot of times when Michael Buffer's gaffed. Michael Buffer, he's gaffed a whole lot of times. You guys just don't know it because he's so smooth at doing things. Anyway, Josh Taylor, 140 pounds now, makes the kid from Central California, of course, the Ramirez kid, not look all that great. I mean, come on, man. Jose Ramirez, 140-pound champion, talking all that smack. And, of course, came off that win over Victor Postala a fortnight ago, and it wasn't all that impressive. I think it was a majority decision. Most people thought he won 75, as did I, 115, 113 on the scorecards. But at the end of the night, it wasn't a night where I was going to give Mr. Ramirez all these accolades or anything like that. He was an over-fainter. And what I mean by an over-fainter is a guy that keeps faking and faking and faking. He's faking all night. He ain't throwing. He's faking. He's faking. And, you know, you get tired of that. I mean, source plus, you could pick up on exactly what he's doing. He's very predictable. So at 140 pounds, looks like Josh Taylor, the unheralded young man. He was unheralded until a year ago out of the UK. People didn't think too much of him, man. But he can punch, he can rock, and one body shot. And, of course, a young man from Thailand or from Malaysia was looking for a place to go. Hey, bottom line was he wasn't in that league. You know, you get cracked with a body shot like that, you've got your elbows up that high. Obviously, you did not go to school. Elbows in tight, hands up, chin down, feet in position of all times. That is your basic boxing stance. Some other fights on the weekend, of course. We'll get to the UFC in a little bit, man. But the UFC, they really had a good card. I mean, they did the last couple of fights on the UFC card from the from Dubai last night was pretty good. The fact that Paulo Costa, that guy I told you, walks around 250 pounds, and somehow he finds a way to come down to 185 pounds, weighs in, and then comes back into the cage weighing 215 pounds, which is not cool, especially if you're fighting him, okay? I mean, imagine being 185, and you're like a 185-pound lean fighter, and you come back at the weigh-in like you're supposed to, like at 190 pounds max, and then you've got to fight a fight that's like 220 pounds, like 25, 30 pounds heavier you. It's hard to do. It's hard to move around. But Israel Adesanya last night lit him up like the White House Christmas tree. I mean, beat on him so bad they should have arrested Israel last night for domestic violence. We'll hear from Israel a little bit later in the show. This is Ring Talk, live world. worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, this is the Saturday edition. We'll be expecting Larry Merchant in a few minutes. The retired HBO godfather will be in the house. Of course, Larry's unplugged. I just ask Larry questions. I throw questions at Larry like I would darts at a dartboard, and he just comes up with his Larry Merchantisms, and I just love him. Isn't the greatest? No doubt about that. The Hall of Famer. It's been 35 years now. It's been 35 years since I met him. Remember, we were both walking around. We looked like we had been in like you ever see you fall out of an airplane and you're in shock? Well, that's what it looked like after Hagler Hearns, because both of us were walking around the Caesars Palace Sport Pavilion. We were in shock. I mean, we were like, whoa, that was just like mayhem and violence for like less than 9 minutes. It was like incredible violence. And of course, that was brought on by the fact that Tommy Hearns didn't go out there and try to box Marvin Hagler. Why? I don't know. Wanted to slug with Marvin. Should have waited and tried to move that right hand in a little bit later, but not Tommy. Tommy wanted to go for it right away. A lot of people thought it had to do with the fact that Tommy got a massage right before the fight. I think James Shuler was in the ring, or somebody was in the ring with, Emmanuel Stewart was in the ring with another fighter. Just before the Hearns fight, Hagler fight, he was in the ring with another fighter, and some girl came into the dress room, and she rubbed Tommy's legs down and got him all relaxed and this and that, and that's when evidently his legs were not with him, and he went out there and he went for it, of course, and he got knocked out in three rounds. Well, one of the greatest fights of all time, without a doubt. You are tuning to Ring Talk, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. In just a few seconds, of course, we'll bring in the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. You're tuning to Ring Talk live.
And as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
That's what I wanted to get into, because so what did you think you sent message did you send to the middleweight division? Because there's a number. Chris Eubanks Jr. said, yeah. I want Charlo.
Yeah.
Andrade's out there.
Yeah.
What do you think? What would you like next? What message did you send to the middleweight division?
Look, I'm not into making the fights. You know, the bigger fights are out there. As you see, I'm stepping up a competition. I'm steady growing. I'm steady learning. I let my team get to it. They make the best decisions. You know, I'm well taken care of. My brother Nick. So that's on my mind right now. I'm ready to see what my brother about to do. We study well. You know, look, man, Charlo Twins, we in the building, man. That's what's up, man. We winning.
What do you think about your brother's fight? And are you going to come back out here and watch him?
If they let me, you know, I stand behind the bubble if they want me to, you know what I mean? But we here to bust the bubble. And we here to make it, you know, interrupt everything, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all. I'm astonished right now for just, you know, putting on a great performance in front of my people.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. It was a really good performance. Still unbeaten, Jermall Charlo, the WBC middleweight champion of the world.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Make a million, lose a million. That's the way it goes.
Let's take it to the City of Angels and bring in the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Mr. Larry Merchant, of course, the husband of the esteemed Mrs. Patricia Merchant. How is the godmother this morning, sir?
I don't know. We're both hiding behind newspapers.
Hey, isn't it good? Listen, you and I enjoy, we are newspaper freaks. I mean, we are, but people that grew up, they don't really know what the newspaper, now people don't know what the newspaper was. I mean, I remember when the fights would happen in Atlantic City, I'd go out there to the boardwalk, I'd buy the New York Post with Mike Marley, I'd buy the New York Times with Phil Berger, I'd buy the New York Daily News with Michael Katz, and I'd buy Newsday with Wally Matthews. Did I miss anybody?
I don't know. I was in Philadelphia. All those names and all those writers are familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have to think on it if there were any others. That's a pretty good crew.
It was a pretty good, yeah, they were all a pretty good crew. Now, last night, the Charlo brothers had a pay-per-view extravaganza, much like the days of Don King. Not really. It was 6.5 hours, and of course, 6.5 hours, and what I say, the best fight on the card, according to the oddsmakers, was 4-1. So the best fight on the card was 4-1, which is about the same odds that Cassius Clay was as an underdog to Sonny Liston back in 1964. So a 4-1 fight is the best fight on the card, and they pay you $80, Godfather, and you've got to sit there for 6.5 hours. Is there? I'm losing myself here. First the 874.95, and then the 6.5 hours.
Well, if you're enjoying it by the hour, you got your money's worth. It was $12 an hour. You know, but you hit upon the right note, Pedro, that these were not particularly competitive fights. And promoters are always looking for ways to find, use, develop fighters who can make money for everybody, and more often than not, that means putting their fighters in against lesser fighters. Mm-hmm. The art of matchmaking.
I understand that, but the kid's 30-0 now. He's 30 years old. I mean, the fight they should be probably calling for is a fight with Canelo Alvarez. That's where they should probably try to go and go.
Well, certainly for Jamal, yes, I agree. He's a good puncher. And he'd have to go up to 68,
mm-hmm.
Maybe take a fight at that weight beforehand. But he's the logical American choice to face Canelo right now. But I don't know that the promoters want that.
I really think the promoters shouldn't be... shouldn't be too choosy right now. They should be getting together and trying to put their heads together and trying to make some money in the midst of this pandemic, because they're shooting themselves in the foot and the head. They're going toe-to-toe as far as promotions are concerned on television. ESPN's going at the same time as DAZN and things like that. And it's just, you know, back in the day when we didn't have a whole lot of boxing and Showtime and HBO did this, it pissed me off on Saturday nights when you guys would go toe to toe with Showtime, or Showtime would go toe to toe with you. I didn't think it was fair. Of course, you had the DVR and things like that, but I didn't think it was fair. And now, well, there's not the talent that we had at one point in time is not there either. And since the super talent is Canelo Alvarez, that's the name he should have mentioned last night, and he never mentioned that. I mean, that was an edited version of the interview, but he did 4 interviews, and he never mentioned Canelo Alvarez in 1 interview.
Well, I don't know if that's because his promoter told him not to mention him. Maybe they're hoping that Alvarez will come to them, but it probably falls into the classification of promoters not wanting their top fighters to be beaten or beaten up or exposed, possibly. And they do that as long as they can. And then in the sunset of the fighters' careers, when it's just about money at that point,
they throw them,
maybe
the
they'll expose them.
Yeah, good point. But Charlo's 30 years old, of course. Canelo speaking of Canelo, he and Oscar De La Hoya, DAZN and Oscar De La Hoya, the three of them were at some arbitration meeting this week. They're trying to work things out. Hopefully that will be resolved, because if it doesn't, that means he's going to be idle in his prime. And maybe his prime is getting away from him. You know, I mean, he's 30 years old, almost 31 years old now. I'm talking about the kid that signed, of course, that $375 million contract. Doesn't want to fight for anything less than the contract when things have changed. If you were advising him, well, how would you proceed with Canelo Alvarez, Godfather? Would you stick to the contract, or would you try to work something out? What would you do?
Well, apparently, DAZN thinks they are owed another fight between Canelo and
Triple G.
I'd give him the fight. Depending on what they would give me, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any reason why he shouldn't take that fight again. and resolve that situation.
So this is a beef about Triple G, this whole thing between these two guys going back?
I don't know. Look, I think the network wants Triple G. I think they think that will generate the biggest bucks,
mm-hmm.
and be good for everybody. But for one reason or another, Canelo doesn't seem to be interested in that fight. There's another potential fight with a fighter named Smith from Great Britain where a lot of money gets generated.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be on the table somehow. Otherwise, I don't know what they're thinking. It's, it's not that we're not in that generation where fighters made relatively small amounts of money. And so they had to fight a lot to get by or to prosper.
They used to get stiffed all the time.
They're choosing between how many millions they want to make. And so it's a big, it's high finance now as well as prize fighting.
But boxers were stood up for their money. I mean, that was... For generations, boxers would show up after the fight. The promoter wouldn't have the money to pay them. Hey, baby, you're on your own.
Sugar Ray Robinson once went to the promoters at Madison Square Garden before the fight and said, I want $25,000 in cash or I'm not showing up.
And did he think that the Garden wasn't going to be able to come up with it, or was he trying to say...
I don't know. It seems odd. Certainly the Garden would be able to afford things. But maybe in his case, the guarantees were so high that it was a close call. So I don't know all the circumstances, but Teddy Brenner, who was the promoter at the Garden, told me that.
Okay. Believe it or not, the buzz is out here in the out here on the West Coast for Vasyl Lomachenko. Not for Teofimo Lopez, this October 17th bout on ESPN for the lightweight championship, but the Latinos are talking, Vasyl Lomachenko. In fact, I'll have one on in hour number two, but they're big Lomachenko fans. They don't think Lopez has much of a chance here.
Well, I think Mexican fans, love Manny Pacquiao. If they're fight fans, Lomachenko is a special looking fighter and they don't have a real stake in his opponent. If his opponent were a Mexican, you might get a different, context.
Godfather, real quick, why do people quit on him so much? Does he beat them mentally?
Yeah, I think he's I don't think you can find sparring partners to duplicate Lomachenko's quickness, his movement, and his style. And I think it is intimidating and frustrating to them. And after a few rounds, many of them feel that they don't have a chance. They don't belong there. They want to get out of there, and the fight ends.
Good point. Speaking of intimidating, I was a little intimidated this week by the Supreme Court justice pick, the alleged pick of the president. Real quick, you got about 35 seconds. You got anything to say on that?
Well, I think that it's going to, depending on the upcoming election and how the Democrats do, it's going to be some kind of a game changer, but we don't know yet.
The retired HBO godfather and the wife of the husband of Patricia Merchant, Mr. Larry Merchant. See how I screwed that up, Godfather?
It's quite all right. It's cute, Pedro.
I love you. Say hello to Godmama. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
The great Larry Merchant on Sports Byline. Hey!
You got to have a mother for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Look here. Oh, no.
that Frankie Edgar was able to recover from that at all. And he's got Mayers.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
The USC was rocking and rolling last night, of course, coming to you from Dubai. Pretty good card. USC 253 in the main event. Of course, the middleweight championship online. Israel Adesanya, of course, undefeated, 19-0 coming in. Taking on Paola Costa. Costa was like 13 and zip, but, you know, Costa had all these, these asterisks next to him. What I'm talking about is everybody thought he was on steroids. I mean, here's a guy that weighs in at, I take that back, walks around at 255 pounds and then comes down to 185 pounds. Comes down to 185. I mean, think about that. And then he goes back up to about 215 pounds. So, in other words, that's not fair because you're not fighting the guy that you weighed in against. And I've always had a problem with that ever since I had to fight Ernie Chavez, of course, in the National Golden Gloves. I fought at welterweight, which wasn't my weight class, and he weighed in at 147. And when we fought 4 days later, he was 167 pounds. I said to myself, this is not fair. I remember looking at this guy saying, this couldn't be him. I remember telling my corner man, that's not him. They go, that's him. I said, that's not him. No, no. He got a haircut, and that's him. Oh, you got to be kidding me. That guy's huge. Yeah, he was huge. I'm talking about Ernie Chavez. Of course, he would end up going on to fight Meldrick Taylor, the 1984 Olympic gold medalist in a non-title bout later in Meldrick's career. And I remember Meldrick telling Meldrick before the fight, Mel, look out. This dude can hit with the right hook. He goes, man, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, you know, blew me off, right? After the fight, he was holding a towel up to his face saying, hey, who was it that told me this guy could punch? Yeah, he could punch. Anyway, Paola Costa got lit up last night by the White House Christmas tree, folks. I kid you. They stopped it in the second round. Still undefeated now, 20-0. He is the USC undisputed champion at 185, Israel Adesanya.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Jason Herzog has called a stop to this contest at 3 minutes, 59 seconds of the second round. Declaring the winner by TKO and still the undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Israel, the last Bender Adesanya!
Fastest man in the world, baby. Because I run so fast, I run it into your face.
All right, here he is, the undisputed UFC middleweight champion, the last style bender, Israel Adesanya, with the entire world watching. You turned in a near-perfect performance here tonight. It seems like everything you said during fight week bared fruit here tonight. Congratulations.
I've been telling you guys, man, but everyone thinks, hey, like Roy Jones said, I said, y'all must have forgot. Y'all must have forgot because of what happened last time. You thought, oh, he's so boring, blah, 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 blah. And I see you media people as well with your little clickbait headlines. But trust me, I had to make y'all remember and I had to remind the world why we the best.
There were a lot of champions who wouldn't have asked for Yoel Romero. They wouldn't have asked for Paulo Costa. I know you want to fight the most dangerous guys, but you believe there was a major skill discrepancy here tonight. Your thoughts on the fight?
I've been telling y'all, man, honestly. And also, I got to say, I told Dana, 30% is not enough. F*** that. Some of these guys are gangsters. They're making money outside the UFC. 30% ain't to them. So they'll give up that to not make the weight and have 90 minutes to keep on making the weight. And they just it. Drink their waters and whatnot. 30% is not enough. Make it 90%. And that way, I guarantee you, they will spend every of those seconds in that 90 minute trying to make the weight and not just f*** out.
You haven't had a lot of time off. You are 20-0 as a mixed martial arts athlete, a perfect 9-0 in the UFC. As you spin this thing forward, get in here, Gito.
My God, I don't care. I just want him here. I just want him here. Yeah, carry on.
As you spin this thing forward and you look ahead in this middleweight division that you are starting to clean out, your thoughts on what lies ahead?
I told you guys, Anderson Silva lived a great legacy, and I said I wanted to do service to the middleweight division, and that's a hard act to follow, but we're doing the work, right, Huge? 100%. So I already DM'd Jared Cannonier. He's a hell of a dude. I love his energy. He's a beautiful, beautiful man. And I said, you destroy Robert Whittaker, and you're next. He's the one I want to fight next, right, Huge? He deserves it. If he beats Robert Whittaker handily and dominates him, he's next.
The world once again witnesses your greatness here tonight. Any final words, champ, before we let you fly?
Hey, shout out to the best team in the world, City Kickboxing, Andre Paulette, Eugene, Tristan. Can you hear my man's in the back? Brad Riddell, Kai Kar-France, Shane Young, Bo, Carlos Alberg, Blood Diamond, Shed Juan, Wagwan. Bro, oh, honestly, man, I love you all. Everyone watching at home, I love you all. Hey, shout out to the puppy. Mwah.
You are looking at the undisputed greatest middleweight in the world at present. The champion remains Israel Adesanya.
Good street boxing, folks. I mean, good street boxing. The kid boxed. He moved around. He went southpaw. He went orthodox. He never let the fight get off his feet. I'm talking about Israel Adesanya, of course, is still champion. 20 and zip. Well, as far as Mr. Costa concerned, you know, I'm not a big guy on cheating. I really don't. I think if you cheat to win a fight or even they, you know, I mean, come on. The suspicion is really, really out there. The guy was a bodybuilder. I mean, that's what he was. He was a bodybuilder before he became a fighter, per se, before he got into jiu-jitsu. So what I'm trying to tell you is I'm really suspect of those bodybuilder guys, especially guys that come down from 255 pounds to 185 pounds and can fight at 185. I mean, that's a little bit crazy. Anyway, couldn't fight much last night. Got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. The fight ended a TKO, second round, 359 in. Now, Jan Błachowicz won the vacant UFC light heavyweight championship. Of course, John Jones, the champion for years, he gave up that title moving up to heavyweight, allegedly, or moving on to another organization, probably moving up to heavyweight. But the bottom line is, Błachowicz beat Dominic Reyes. It was a TKO in two. We'll hear from Dominic, we'll hear from Jan in hour number two, the UFC light heavyweight champion. Brandon Roval was the winner over Kai Kara France. It was a submission, a guillotine choke. Those guys are fighting at 125 pounds. And, you know, when one guy is just so much bigger than the other guy at 125 pounds, it sort of tells me that maybe the guy fighting at 125 really should be fighting at 115. And size matters. Again, in combat sports and pornography, I kid you not. When I was a kid, when I was fighting at 65 pounds, if I got a fight with a guy that was 60 pounds, that was a 4-pound weight advantage. That was a significant weight advantage. It just was. And that's why they have weight classes. I mean, why do you think they break it up the way they do? Not just because they can sell more belts, but 105, 108, 112, 115, 118, I'm talking about pounds, 122, 126, 130, 135, 140, 147, 154, 160, 168, 175, 200, the cruiserweight limit, and of course the heavyweight limit as well. That's boxing. As far as the UFC is concerned, of course they've got this strawweight division, 115, the flyweights are 125, the bantamweights are 135, the featherweights are 145, the lightweights are 155 pounds, of course, and then you move up to the welterweight division, that's 170 pounds, a 15-pound jump, big jump there from lightweight to welterweight. And after that, it's from 170 to 185. Of course, the Israel Adesanya in action last night, the world middleweight champion. And the heavyweight champion of the world, of course, light heavyweight champion of the world is now Jan Błachowicz, but the heavyweight champion of the world is still Stipe Miocic. And, of course, he's a former Golden Glove champion, a Cleveland Golden Glove champion, good fighter, no doubt about that. I mean, he's a heavyweight champion of the world, but his days are numbered. If they put him in with Francis Ngannou, he will get destroyed. I think he will get destroyed. In fact, you know, there's not too many sure things you want to bet on, but I think that's one thing I might want to bet on. That might be a sure thing. And why do I say that even though Stipe beat him the first time? Because he came close, I mean like with a real close the first time to knocking Stipe out in the first round. And then he gassed. And I don't think that Francis is going to gas anymore. I really don't. Those big muscles, he sort of leaned it up a little bit, and he's throwing a little bit harder and a little bit straighter and this and that. And I think he's more focused, and he's got a ground game now, where before he only knew stand-up. Didn't even want to go to the ground. I mean, the guy's a former professional boxer out of Paris, France. Francis Ngannou, the heavyweight monster. Hits harder than Ernie Shavers, I believe. Hits harder than George Foreman, I believe. Now, maybe Dave Jacob. Maybe I should put Dave Jacob in the ring when we find out who hits harder, because Dave Jacob told me that out of George Foreman and Mike Tyson, the Foreman hits way harder. That was his quote. Way harder, Pete. Way harder. Anyway, back to the UFC card. Not a whole lot of names on the card, but I did enjoy Hakeem Dawandu, and he beat a guy named Zariah Zutuk. And that went something, I got the name close there anyway. Bottom of the split decision, that was at a catchweight fight, 150 pounds. That wasn't a bad fight. But the rest of the card, didn't really want to watch it much. Next week, guess who's back? The Diva. The girl, of course, that exposed Ronda Rousey. Remember? She went down to Australia. I'm talking about Holly Holm, of course, a kid. That's when I knew her. When I met her, she was a kid. She was just fighting professional out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was down there doing the ring announcing for her. Her and Lenny Frescas and Frescas Productions and things like that. I mean, we had cards in different casinos, at the Pit, and I think University of Albuquerque. I mean, all kinds of different venues down there. She packed them, she sold them out, and that's when she was a professional boxer, okay? And she only lost a couple fights as a professional boxer. It was like 35-2. Of course, then she sprung onto the MMA world, and her whole focus was to beat Ronda Rousey. They didn't have anything else in mind other than beating Ronda Rousey. They were going to figure out a way to beat Ronda Rousey. They had it in their mind. They were convinced they could beat Ronda Rousey. So they go down to Australia, and they're like almost a 10-1 underdog. Some huge, biggest underdog, I think, in MMA women's history as far as winning is concerned. She goes down there. She's a huge underdog. She kicks the... I mean, I didn't want to talk about it. She should, if they were gay, she would have been arrested for domestic violence. Let's talk about Holly Holm beating up on Ronda Rousey the way she did. I mean, Ronda was just annihilated. Remember Ronda came back and she had to put like, she wore a hood and a hat and all kinds of stuff, tried to hide her face coming back off the plane in LA. No, she got destroyed. She didn't expect to get destroyed because she, you know, she had been knocking people around as far as her submissions and her arm bars were concerned. She just worked you into that arm bar position as she did so many girls in the past and built up that reputation. She was unbeatable, this and that, but no. Holly Holm, smart. A complete fighter, a girl that knew MMA and professional boxing, took her to school and beat her. Now, next week, Holly Holm takes on a girl by the name of Irene Aldana. Aldana can punch. She's 12-5. And I say why. And the reason why I say why is that Holly Holm has done a lot. She's really a nice girl. I mean, you'll never find a better representative of the community than Holly Holm. But she's 38 years old. As I said, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Fighting out 135, 145 pounds. Bottom line is, she won a light middleweight championship as a boxer. I think she had a kickboxing title as well. But the boxing championships, I thought were significant. 38 total fights, 33 wins, 2 losses, two by knockout. Of course, that one fight I told you, she got cut under the eye and she decided she didn't want any more. Hey, you know, looks first. Anyway, in 3 draws. But as a kickboxer, she was 14-1. Holy cow. 14-1. But she had 7 draws. How do you have 7 draws? Come on. How do you have 7 draws and 22 fights? Think about that. 7 draws and 22 fights. She must have been fighting. Her parents must have been the judges. Anyway, as a mixed martial artist now, she is 13-5. And of course, she opened up on that big blitzkrieg. Of course, beat Ronda Rousey, who was on a move there, and then she ran into Misha Tate. Remember that? Lainey Fuentes came on the show and said, you know what? We're going to do what we want. We're not going to do the Ronda Rousey rematch. Well, tell Danny he can go screw himself. We're going to fight Misha Tate. Well, what happens? Misha Tate beats her. And then, of course, Misha Tate gets beat by Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes comes back and destroys everybody, including Chris Cyborg Santos. I tried to get to Cyborg Santos this week via Facebook, via Twitter, to ask her if she wanted to come onto the show and figure out what she's going to do as far as her future is concerned. Of course, she was a former 145-pound champion, considered, like, unbeatable. I still wouldn't fight her myself. I'd rather fight Amanda Nunes in a heartbeat than fight her. Just something about her. I mean, the fact that she was throwing those guys in that movie that were 185, 190 pounds, 200 pounds, she was throwing them over the hoods of cars and this and that. I don't want her putting her hands on me. Maybe at 145, but not anything close like 170. That's what she weighs, 170. What a monster. Anyway, the monstrous has no contract. The UFC froze her out. What's going to happen? We'll find out in the near future. That's what she says. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
You know what? As long as she fights at 135 pounds, I don't care if she's injecting a horse demon into her eyeballs. You know, I'm going to beat that girl regardless, and I'm going to prove a point that you don't need the dope to win. If they want to test her extra, fine, you know. Go ahead and do that. But regardless, I'm going to beat that girl to the ground.
I would never let a woman kick my ass. If she tried anything, I'd be like, hey, you get your bitch ass back in the kitchen and make me some pie.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it. This is hour in the morning of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. When I was the king of Las Vegas, and I mean I was the king, I was the voice of the Imperial Palace Hotel, both on radio and television on the weekend, so they would either commute in there or or via airplane, of course, or driving. But the bottom line is one night I went to see the Temptations. But guess what? There were two sets of Temptations in town, so I had my choice. Do I go see Eddie Kendricks and the aforementioned David Ruffin, who you just heard right there, the two original leads of the Temptations, or do I see Otis Williams? He was the originator of the Temptations, of course, the guy that founded the Temptations, along with Dennis Edwards on lead. So I went and saw Eddie and David instead. And when I say I saw Dennis Edwards later in life, but the bottom line is, what a night that was. You had the Temptations on the Las Vegas Strip at two different hotels. It says the Temptations. The Temps. I kid you not. But bottom line is, that was soul music. No doubt about that. And I told you all my memories about Motown USC, getting those guys at the funeral home next to the, Hitsville USA, the studios there, the Motown studios on Grand Boulevard, getting those guys the finest California marijuana. They loved it. They ate it up, and they told some great stories, no doubt about that. Now, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, still to come as I brought a smile to somebody's face right there. We'll be talking, of course, boxing and MMA. We'll hear from the USC light heavyweight champion just crowned, John Blachowicz, of course, an upset winner over Dominic Reyes. That was pretty cool. It knocked him out. And we'll hear from him. And we'll also hear from Hector Martinez. Of course, he's the former manager of Roberto Duran. He's going to talk about Vasyl Lomachenko, what makes him tick in the Lopez fight, of course, October 17th. The mega match set for October 17th on ESPN. Not pay-per-view, not cave, not super cable, just good old ESPN. Right on Bob Arum, of course. 89 years old, the former U.S. attorney. He's just got it rocking and rolling. Straight up, hour number two, we'll also talk boxing and MMA to a depth you've never probably heard before, because I'm going to bring you a couple of surprises. That's right. The great Cassius Clay. Who's that? That was a man born Muhammad Ali. He'll join us in hour number two as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline. This is an Anchor Podcast.